Let me try to review last week real quickly. There was one commandment, and there were three incentives or three reasons for that. The commandment was do not love the world or the things in the world. The incentives are if you love the world, you don't love God. If you love the world, you will perish with the world. And then if you love God instead of the world, you will live with God forever. So there's the commandment and the incentives that go with it. Then we got into the talking about the world and its passion for pleasure and its pride of possessions. It said that there were two different passions. One is the lust of the eyes and the other one is the lust of the flesh. And then we went on and talked a little bit about the same spirit that gives life is the spirit that nourishes life. And the same word that ignites the fire of love also rekindles it. And so we were going back and forth with those. In there was also, so yield yourself to the Spirit and immerse yourself in the Word of God and cry out to Christ for a new vision in His glory and His grace. And we want to build on that a little bit more today. We want to really look at the Holy Spirit and the Word and how all that applies. So digging in, let's go for it here. Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27. These past few weeks, as we've done, we've only been covering like two or three verses at a time. We're gonna cover a whole lot here. So, 1 John, chapter 2, verses 18 through 27. Here we go. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going out showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what He promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him. So that's what we want to do today. We want to dig into that. I want to read some stuff for you, some other things. How many of you have ever heard of Moonies? Moonies, some of you, Moonies. Moonies, how many of you have ever heard of the Unification Church? Okay, that's what the Moonies and the Unification Church one is kind of a slang for it. They're called Moonies because the guy who founded them, his name is Sung Myung Moon, and he did this a long time ago, and he moved to Korea where he kind of got his church going, and then they kind of went after him, so he jumped to South Korea, and they kind of went after him. He came to the United States. He was actually arrested and put in prison for a year, and while he was in prison, he wrote some documents, and I want to read for you part of the document that he wrote. So you can catch on to this. And this is where we'll be going today. So I'm going to read this. Try to follow along with it as much as we can. He wrote this document, and these are excerpts from part of it. It says, I am making a bold declaration. Jesus did not come to die. Jesus was murdered. The crucifixion of Jesus was a result of human faithlessness. The most egregious and destructive lack of faith was to be found in John the Baptist. This means that Jesus did not come to die on the cross. If Jesus came to die on the cross, would he not need a man to deliver him up? You know that Judas Iscariot is the disciple who betrayed Jesus. If Jesus fulfilled God's will with his death on the cross, then Judas should be glorified as the man who made the crucifixion possible. Judas would have been aiding God's dispensation. But Jesus said of Judas, "The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." Furthermore, if God had wanted his Son to be crucified, he did not need to wait 4,000 years to prepare the chosen people. Okay, many people may now ask, what about the prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the death of Jesus on the cross? We must know that there are dual lines of prophecy in the Bible. One group prophesies Jesus' rejection and death. The other, such as Isaiah, prophesies the glorious ministry of Jesus when the people accept him as the Son. Why then did God prophesy in two contradictory ways in the Bible? God did not know how the people would respond to his providence for the Messiah. He had no choice but to predict two contradictory results, dual prophecies, each possibility depending on human actions. I am just revealing what I know to be the truth. The Lord cannot appear in that kind of supernatural fashion. As a man, he must come up from the bottom of human misery. He must come to the most miserable nation and lift the human status from the slave position to the servant position, to the adopted child position, and to the direct child position, and be physically putting together the kingdom of heaven here on earth. That is the mission of the Messiah. God needs to find his perfected Adam, an Adam who, instead of betraying God, will become one with God. And then Adam must restore his bride in the position of Eve. Perfected Adam and perfected Eve, united together, will be able to overcome Satan and expel him from the world. In this way, the first righteous ancestors of humankind will begin a new history. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know it is the last hour. The last part there, the children, that's going back to John. Isn't it amazing that he could write things like this? Throughout the ages, men have come through and people have come through and talked about it and done some things. How he goes along and he twists and he distorts the atoning death of Jesus. The omniscience, God didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know how he was going to respond. So he has two different timelines, two different ways of doing things. He goes through and he talks about the second coming of the Lord. Actually, Sun Myung Moon will claim that he is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, well, no, he claimed that he is God that has come back. Jesus Christ didn't fulfill everything the way he was supposed to, and so he is now God in the flesh that has come to fulfill what Jesus Christ did not do. That is what Sun Myung Moon would claim. It's amazing how people are so easily led astray, and it's happened throughout the ages. Why does it happen? Why are people so easily led astray? Two things, and they go back to last week. The first thing would be a lack of grounding in God's Word. We do not know what God's Word says. The other one is a lack of life in the Holy Spirit. We don't have the Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us, revealing some of these things to us. To put it this way, when people have no theological depth and they have no vital experience with the Holy Spirit, we are sitting ducks for the deceiver and the Antichrist. And that's kind of where John is going. That's what his writing was to them. And it applies to us today. There's a lot of things we can dig out of these verses. We're going to try to get three of them. Hopefully you have them there. Let me make sure that I'm not too far off. You should have them there. The three main points. This is where you want to go with it. Three main points. I'll re-say them if you need to. I wanted you to be able to write them down. We are in the last hour of deception. That would be point number one. We are in the last hour of deception. So we want to spend a little bit of time talking about that. What is the last hour? The second one, it is longer. If you need me to give them to you afterwards, I can. If you need me to go back, just raise your hand and say, okay, I still didn't get that one. I don't mind doing that. The second one is the Word of God and the Spirit of God protect us from deception and lead us to eternal life. So the Word of God and the Spirit of God protect us from deception and lead us into eternal life. Now, this part might be good if I put it up there, huh? Just you had them pop up there a little bit. I can say it again. I don't have a problem doing it. The Word of God and the Spirit of God protect us from deception and lead us into eternal life. Okay? So if we go to part one, or the first part, we are in the last hour of deception. If the last hour of deception is there, then the Word of God and the Spirit of God help to protect us from deception and lead us into eternal life. And the third one, hopefully it makes a little bit of sense. Therefore, we should let the Word abide in us, and we should abide in the Spirit. Therefore, we should let the Word abide in us, and we should abide in the Spirit. That is the last one. That would be number three. Therefore, we should let the Word abide in us, and we should abide in the Spirit. Now, I promise that'll be the most writing you'll have to do. Everything else, I just have little blanks there so you can fill them in. And I've even made it easier. The little blanks, they got the first letter of the word that goes in there anyway. Okay? I will go over them one more time, just so you can check them. If you need to come and talk to me a little bit about them afterwards or something, or get it clarified, I can do that. Here we go. The very first one. We are in the last hour of deception. Okay? We are in the last hour of deception. The second one, the Word of God and the Spirit of God protect us from deception and lead us into eternal life. The third one, therefore, we should let the Word abide in us and we should abide in the Spirit. Now, for those of you who are really struggling, if you kind of look down, you'll see a number one, and then you'll see a number two, and then on the backside, you'll see a number three. That's what you just wrote down. Some of you already, I know you already figured it out, and you're telling somebody else about it. So they're already written there. You may have written them all down and done all that, but they're there if you didn't get them 100%. They are numbered as we go through. That's what we want to talk about. We are in the last hour of deception, okay? We need to let the Word of God and the Spirit of God protect us from the deception, and that will lead us to eternal life. So it's building on what we did last week. And because of that, we need to let that Word abide in us, and we need to abide in the Spirit, okay? Let's go on. Starting with point number one, John, in this, he begins with that term again, children. Remember we talked about, he's really the only one that uses the term children. He says, children, it is the last hour. What does he mean by it is the last hour? He's talking about it, and this was 2,000 years ago. Okay, but what does that mean, the last hour? The idea behind the last hour, where this is coming from, is that when Jesus Christ came, we entered into a new time frame. It is the last hour, okay? Only God knows how long that last hour or the last days are going to take place. So when Jesus Christ came, there was a time up to that point, and they had talked about that point. When Jesus Christ came, we entered the last days. We entered the last hours, okay? Things changed once Jesus Christ appeared. If you go and you look back in the Old Testament, there are not a lot of times, there are no real references of Satan and him going after people and doing things. I know there's a little bit of it in Job and little things, but Satan became more active once Jesus Christ came. And Satan did things. And that's kind of where John is coming from in this. When he says that, is he saying, Christ has come, we have somebody to follow. And it doesn't come out exactly right, but it's almost like the rules have changed. The rules of engagement have changed. The things have changed. We now have Christ. We now have the Holy Spirit. Because of that, the evil one, Satan, the liar, he is going to be more active. And John could see that. John could see that taking place in his days, and how much more us now. We see the deceiver. We see things taking place. You will have several scripture verses there. I just wrote the verses, the scripture text, the references. There we go. I wrote the references down. I did not write them all out for you, but every single one of them talks about the last days or the last hours. Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. 1 Corinthians 10:11. The Old Testament stories were written down for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Hebrews 1:1-2. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Hebrews 9:26. He has appeared once and for all at the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And 1 Peter 1:20, Christ was destined before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest at the end of the time for your sake. See, Scripture even goes through and talks about the last days. And so once Christ came, we entered the last days. We entered the last hour. How long will it take? We don't know. Only God knows. Okay? That's where John is coming from. That's what John is talking about. Christ has come. There is hope. But with that, there is also Satan is more active. The deceiver is more active. Now, if you read on in verse 18, it says, "You have heard that Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know it is the last hour." John wholeheartedly believes that there is one Antichrist. He knows there's going to be just one Antichrist. But with this, what he's saying is, even though there is one Antichrist, there is the spirit of Antichrist. Okay? And once Jesus came, then the spirit is more free to roam. I don't know exactly how to say it, but that's kind of where it's going. In these last hours, the spirit, the Antichrist, is going, you'll see him more and more and more as time goes on. That's where he's going with this. He may be referring back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, and in verse 24, when Jesus is saying, he says, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." So even Christ was saying, now that I've come, now that I've been here, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to come after me, and they're all going to say that they are the Christ, that they are me. And the reason for doing that is because they're going to try to lead you astray. Even the elect ones, even those who know the Scripture, even those who know it, these people are going to come to try to take them away. 2 John 7 says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, men who will not acknowledge the coming of Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist." With this one, John is trying to give us his idea of what the Antichrist is. Who is the Antichrist? How do you know what the Antichrist is? They are men who do not acknowledge the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Okay? They are what he was talking about. The whole world is in the power of the evil one. We live in the last hour of deception. But there's good news. If you read ahead, and we'll get to it a little bit later on. If you read ahead, I'm looking for where I've got it in here. I have a spot underneath 1 John 5:19, kind of at the bottom of the first page. I want you to write this down, because if you read 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That sounds almost a little bit depressing, but here you go. Write this down. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. You will want to write that down. I will read it for you. You can hang on to this. If the world lies under the control, or if the whole world is under control of the evil one, or the power of the evil one, 1 John 4:4 says, "You are from God, little children. You have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Okay? That's hope. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan may be in the world, he may be all around the world, but Jesus Christ is greater. 1 John 4:4, hang on to that. Okay? One of the most important things we want to work on here is using the Word and using the Spirit, or how the Word and how the Spirit work together to guard us from this deception. Verses 20 and 21 say, "You have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all know, or you know all things. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And you know that no lie is of the truth." You have been anointed by the Holy One, and you know. What is this anointing? Even goes on in verse 27, he again talks about it. He says, "The anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. What is this anointing? What is he talking about? What is this anointing? Acts 10:38, says that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. The anointing that he's talking about here is the Holy Spirit. First John 4:13, it goes on, it says that God has given us the Spirit. So the same Spirit that Jesus was anointed with, we have. That Spirit has been given to us. So that we can go back to verses 20 that have these phrases, you have the Holy Spirit, and kind of rephrase them. I'm going to take out the anointing and put the Holy Spirit in there. You have the Holy Spirit from God in you, and so you know the truth. Okay, you have the anointing. Okay, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, and so you know the truth. Verse 27 would read something like this. The Holy Spirit which you received from God abides in you, and so you have no need that anyone should teach you. Okay? This is where all of the false prophets, all the deceivers come in. They want to come in and say, right on. You need to know the truth. You need to have this knowledge. And you know what? I've been given this extra knowledge. I've been given this extra information. I have that extra stuff. But what John's trying to tell us here is there isn't anything else that you need. You have it all. Knowing the truth about Christ is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Chapter 4, verse 1 of 1 John says, test the spirits to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Again, these prophets go out there and they say, you need to know what the truth is, and I have this extra truth. Christ didn't have it all. That's what Sun Myung Moon would say. I have this new revelation. I have this new idea. I have this new thing. God has given me this new message. Okay? So what does John mean when he's talking about this? How does the anointing of the Spirit enable the saints to know the truth and protect them from the deception? Verse 24 is kind of his answer to that. It shows us how, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. And then he goes on and says, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you will abide in the Son and in the Father. A few weeks ago we talked about how John repeated, children and then fathers and then sons and then young men, and then children, and then fathers, and then young men. He repeated it because he wanted to make sure they heard it. Well, he's doing the same thing here. He says, what you have heard from the beginning. And then he repeats it again. What you have heard from the beginning. He wants to make sure that the people catch on. It's nothing new. What you have heard from the beginning is what there is. What they heard from the beginning is what was written down here. There is nothing new. There is nothing to be added to this. This is all there is, what you have heard from the beginning. If you go into the Mormons, they have their Book of Mormon. I actually have a copy of it at home. I was going to bring it, but I didn't. You know, there's something new. God wanted to give us a new revelation, so we have another book besides the Bible that you can read. John's saying that's not it. What you have heard from the beginning, this is all there is. On your papers that you have up on the front page up at the top, the title of it is Let What You Heard in the Beginning Abide in You. But I put a couple other things there. Something new versus something true. So many times we go to seminars, we do things because we want to learn something new. And in some cases that's good. But in this case, John's saying there is nothing new to be learned. It's all here. So learn something true. Okay? Every time you open this, every time I open this, every time we get through it, you may see it in a new way, but it's not a new message. It is the same message. As you grow in your understanding, something might make a little bit more sense. But it's the exact same stuff. If it doesn't come from here, if it doesn't line up with this, then it's not from God. That's what John is trying to say here. That's what he's doing. We don't need anything else new. There is no new revelation. There is nothing else. It's just something true. Okay? That's why John goes, and we've already gone over this, in chapter 2, verse 7. Beloved, I am writing no new commandment, but an old one, which you heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. Remember going back and forth in this old commandment, the new commandment, and going back and forth. That's what John is trying to get across. There is nothing new. It's all of this. test the spirits. 2 John 9 says, if anyone goes ahead, okay, if anyone progresses beyond what we've got here and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, he does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine has both the Father and the Son. If you progress, and that's what he's talking about here. Remember, we were talking about John, and he was addressing the church, and there were some people who had gone out, and he says, if they've gone out, they never really were of us. They have progressed. They had gone out, and they were saying, there's all kinds of new stuff. There's all kinds of new things out there. Watch out for people who say, there's something new. Okay? I want feedback on this part. I have listed several, you know, you can go through, there is a listing of cults over and over and over again. I have some of them. I want to list for you, how about I list for you the person who founded it, and you tell me what the cult is, if you know what it is, and we'll kind of go over it. A little bit of a game, a little bit of a test here. Muhammad. Islam? I heard Islam out there. Muhammad was the founder of Islam. He went on, and there's a little bit more than what Christ had said. How about this one? Charles Taze Russell. Charles Taze Russell. He was the founder of Zion's Watchtower. That's what the name, that's what they were called in 1879. Most of you, what was it? Jehovah's Witness. Most of you will know them more as Jehovah's Witness. In 1931, they changed their name to Jehovah's Witness. How about this one? This one's probably a little bit more common to some of you. Joseph Smith. Mormons. Mormons or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Okay? How about Mary Baker Eddy? Christian Science. Yes. Mary Baker Eddy was the founder of Christian Science. I've gone through and I've read about these people and looked up at some of the things and some of the things that went on with them. How about Jim Jones? Jim Jones. I know Jim Jones and the Guyana tragedy. That's how I know it by. They had a special name. They were called something. People's Temple. Jim Jones was the founder of People's Temple. Some of them are getting a little closer to where we're at today and stuff. This one should be easy for all of you. Sun Myung Moon. Moonies, or the Unification Church. You know that while he was in prison, there were actually evangelists here who were working to get him out of prison. And I think most of the reasoning behind it was because of the reason that he was put in there. Not because of what he believed, but because of the reason that he was in prison. And he was in prison a little bit over a year, and they finally released him. I got two more to go with. How about David Koresh? Branch Davidians. That was in Waco. You remember them in Waco? Here's one. Hopefully this one is a stumper. Marshall Applewhite. Oh, yes. Marshall Applewhite. He was more commonly referred to by his followers, by his believers, as T. I have to go through it. He had a significant other. I don't know if they were ever married. She was known as Doe, and he was known as T. And those of you who are musical, that Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti. So they were both ends of the scale there. She was Do, he was Ti. Marshall Applewhite. Some of you might know them more as Heaven's Gate. Heaven's Gate were the group of people down in Los Angeles. When Hale Bopp came through, they believed that they could all kill themselves, and they would go off on the tails of Hale Bopp, and they would begin a new life that way. And so they were leaving the shells behind of these bodies of this earth to get on and go on and do some things. Those are some people who have come along. Some of them you'll be familiar with, some of them you won't, who have come through, and what they've said has been really good, and they say, I have a new revelation. God has told me something new. Or they came up with a new book and said, this is a new book which God has given to me. They've been trying to add to Scripture. You cannot add to Scripture. 1 John 4, 2 says, by this you know that the Spirit of God, every spirit which confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh, is of God. If you go through and you talk about and you look up any of these people that we've just spoken about, they all said, some of them will say that Jesus was just a prophet. Some might say that Jesus was the Son of God, but they'll say he did not do things right. So they have come. They are here either as God or as God's son or as a representative for God to get it right. They have something more to give us. But we have the Spirit. The Spirit inside you helps you to understand and it helps you to get to that. It is... The Spirit comes not to take us beyond the teachings that are in here, but to help us accept those teachings and to abide in those teachings. It helps us grow in our understanding of what that teaching is. It strengthens our power to practice that teaching. It increases our confidence in the truth of that teaching. But it does not change that teaching. Okay, that's important. It does not change that, and it does not expand it. The Holy Spirit will not take you beyond what is in here. It'll help you to understand it better. It may teach you what is in there, but it will not take you beyond that. Okay? Therefore, if we have the Word and we have the Spirit, we should let the Word abide in us, and we should abide in the Spirit. Verse 24 of this text says, "Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you." And at the end of 27, it says, "As His anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in Him." Let the Word abide in you. Get yourself immersed in the Word. Okay? Let the Word abide in you. Also, you should be abiding in the Spirit. You should be letting the Spirit lead you and to guide you. It's not just John who writes this. The Apostle Paul did it. Colossians 3:16. Toward the end of the sheets that you have. Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Let the word of Christ dwell within you. If you write anything down after Colossians 3:16, that's what you'd want to write down there. Let the word of Christ dwell within you. Here's another one of his writings, Ephesians 5:18 through 19. "Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord. With all your heart, always, and for everything, give thanks." If you write anything in there, be filled with the Spirit. So you should have written down there, if you've been writing them down, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you." Okay? And be filled with the Spirit. You see that? If you follow along, when Paul is saying, "Let the word dwell in you," that's like John saying, "Let the word abide in you." And when Paul is saying, "Be filled with the Spirit," that is like John saying, "Abide in the Spirit." This is what John is wanting us to do, is to immerse ourselves in the Word, to listen to the Word, to see what's there, to study the Word, to dig deeper into the Word. And as we do that, to be filled with the Spirit, to know that the Spirit was given to Jesus Christ, that same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has been given to us so that we can understand what's here, so that we can have this. Let the Word abide in you and abide in the Spirit. My prayer for all of us as we continue moving forward, as we dig deeper, as we get more sound in the theology, more sound in the Spirit, more sound in Jesus Christ, my prayer is that we would that the Word would abide in us and that we would abide in the Spirit. That we love the Word and continue to come Sunday after Sunday to worship in truth. That we are filled with the anointing of God. And that we would continue to worship in spirit. For the Lord seeks those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. That we would guard ourselves from the deceiver and the Antichrist. That we would love the world. That we would love the Word. Live in the Word. Pray the Word. Memorize the Word. And before every sentence, every time we pick it up, every sentence, before we get into any of it, that we would lay ourselves wide open for whatever the Spirit has for us and whatever the Spirit wants to say to us in that. Again, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he has promised us, eternal life. Amen. As the worship team comes up, I pulled it out. I was hoping I'd get somebody here who is really hip, okay, but they're not here today. So I'm going to try it for you. You're all laughing already because you know I've got a rap. Yeah. I need Frankie or AJ here right now. I really do. I'm not going to rap it. It's going to come out more like a poem. But 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27 goes something like this. You just desperately want a beat. I've tried it. I have no rhythm. I can't do any of it. So here we go. It is the time of the end, and the Antichrist will come. But even now, many do, of whom you've overcome. Consider those who want out from us. They were not of us. I said that wrong, didn't I? See, I can't even do it when I'm reading it. Consider those who went out from us. They were not of us. For if they were, they would remain. But were revealed thus. But you are anointed from the Holy One, and the truth all of you know. See, I can't. Somebody want to do this for me? Anybody who's got any kind of rhythm, because I am butchering it really, really bad. I've gone over it and over it and over it. Come on, Chelsea. I got to volunteer.
It is the time of the end, and the Antichrist will come. But even now many do, of whom you've overcome. Consider those who went out from us. They were not of us. For if they were, they would remain. But were revealed thus. But you are anointed from the Holy One, and the truth of all you know. I do not write because you don't know, but to apply it to your foe. The man who denies Jesus as Christ, such as a man, is a liar. Antichrist deny the Father and the Son, and are headed for the fire. No one who denies the Son has the Father true. Whoever does acknowledge the Son has the Father too. Let that dwell in you, what you've heard from the start. If it does, you'll abide with God, if you keep it in your heart. And this is what he promised us, even life eternal. But I write of those who try and lead you to a place infernal. But the anointing you receive from him continues to dwell in you. It teaches you to discern between the false and true. And just as it has taught you to and continues as your guide, so you shall continue to walk and in him to abide.
Thank you, Chelsea. Now, I have copies of this if anyone wants them. It is basically a rap or a poem of the scripture that we have just gone through. But that's what it is. John is, on this section here, he's just building off of what we did last week. You know, with the Word and the Spirit. Let the Word of God just indwell you, to abide in you. And then you, in turn, you follow the Spirit and follow the Spirit's guiding. Listen to the Spirit and abide in the Spirit. Let the Word of God abide in you, and you abide in the Spirit. That's good news. We have not been overcome by the world, but we have God in us, and because of that, we have overcome the world. The deceiver can be all around us, but he has nothing to do with us. So the worship team is going to lead us in a song. I'm going to run over there to get it up for you. And that's what it's talking about. One life. We have one life to live, and we need to live it for Christ, and we need to abide in his word and let the Spirit dwell within us.